Good morning and welcome to Tethys Oil. It's May, it's a beautiful May day in Stockholm, and we are here to present and discuss Tethys Oil's first quarter report for 2019. A report that undoubtedly has been a little bit mixed, at least as at first glance. So let's delve into it right away and start looking at the Q1 19 highlights. A set of numbers, a few stand out. Selling price down dramatically almost from the Q4 18 and way below the full year achieved in 2018. At 61.60, of course, the oil price is impacting the result for the quarter. Another number that stands out is the EBITDA, which is down, partly following the oil price, but also a surge in OPEX, especially in OPEX per barrel, of 13.30 compared to the average for the year, 10.70. And this number we believe to be a little bit inflated and not representative of what we are going to see for the remainder of the year. Jesper will comment in more detail as to the OPEX, but the 13.30 is not the number we expect to be representative for the continuation of the year. Production, a little bit softer than we have guided and hoped for, however better than we saw for the full year of 2018, and also better actually than we had in the fourth quarter of 2018. A number of elements have impacted production, which we will also discuss in more detail going forward. Otherwise, we do see that if we turn to the next page, that we actually maintain our production guidance, 12 to 13,000 barrels of oil per day. We have had a weak first quarter, but the main reason is that we have seen a lower than expected production from the Ulfa field, discovered in 2017, brought on stream in 2018, with an EPF up and running in December. However, it turned out that we needed additional gas handling capacity at ZF EPF. This was clear fairly early in January and rectified by mid-March. And after the installation of an additional separator, a number of wells that had to be shut in for the first quarter have been opened up. And, of course, followingly, we should expect production to increase. And therefore, we are quite confident still that there is no change to our guidance. We expect 2019 production to come in between 12 and 13,000 barrels of oil per day on average for the year. We had one exploration well success, mid-size for Block 3 and 4 oil discovery, the Masara 1 well. It's a analog to Hufai and Bua producers. It was considered a low-risk exploration well, and we can happily conclude that it came in, maintaining a very, very good record for discoveries in the Bua and Hufai reservoir sections within our near-field exploration area. The Ulfa appraisal continues. Another well drilled and came in successfully. This, of course, is important for moving our contingent resources into the reserve category. And Block 49, our Romani exploration block, continues according to plan. We completed new seismic in December of 2018. We have received the processed data, and we are currently interpreting and mapping the area. And quite important, free cash generation remains strong. We actually end the quarter at a record high cash position of $82.7 million. That's up 13%. So even with mixed results for the quarter and oil prices considerably lower than we saw in the fourth quarter last year, we still continue to generate substantial amounts of cash. So turning to slide number 4, we are happy to remind you all that distribution to shareholders, therefore, is up. And for the current year, the board of directors has proposed to the AGM to be held next week here in Stockholm on May 15, an ordinary dividend of 2 crowns per share and extraordinary distribution of 6 crowns per share, a total of 8%, which at announcement stood as dividend yield of 11%. And I think that is actually close to where we are today also based on today's share price. This is a distribution of actually just under $30 million to shareholders. Since we started with dividends, we have distributed more than $50 million up to this year. And the $30 million, of course, is a substantial amount, a yield of 11%, but still leaving us with a very solid cash position even after this distribution. And just to remind you, if this is a mixed quarter, we still covered almost a third of the distribution for the year in this rather weak quarter. So the robustness of the Oman core project is certainly not in doubt. So turning to the asset base, we have almost all our production and cash generation from the Sultanate of Oman, bordering the Indian Ocean, Saudi Arabia, and the United Arab Emirates in the Middle East. We have two blocks, 49, where we have 100% and we are the operators, an exploration block in the southeastern portion of the Sultanate, and our 30% share in our star asset, blocks 3 and 4, operated by CC Energy and partner with Mitsui. And we have 30% there. Both, all three blocks are quite large. And actually, as you can see from the map, Tethys has license, is in Oman, covering a fairly large part of the Sultanate's surface. That said, I would like to hand the floor to our CFO, Jesper, to comment in more detail on the numbers for the quarter.
Thank you, Magnus. Good morning, everyone. I am on slide 6 and production from blocks 3 and 4. The quarter saw production of 11,900 barrels to net to Tethys, which is very much in line with the production of Q4. It should be noted that we're well above the average production during 2018, and this was during a quarter that was negatively impacted by constraints in the gas handling. And I'd like to remind that that constraint is now handled by additional gas separation capacity having been installed. So we'll see what happens going forward. Moving on to slide 7. As Magnus addressed previously, we saw a dramatic fall in our received oil prices during Q1, down from close to 78 in Q4 to 61 in Q1. And this is obviously a consequence of the world market prices, and we also know that those have rebounded during Q1, and with our effective 2-month lag in receiving spot prices, we are pretty certain that we can experience an improved oil price during Q2. Moving forward to slide 8, revenue and other income. And this is obviously impacted by the drop in our received oil price. We report revenue and other income of 32.7 million for the quarter, which is down 26% compared to Q4 18. Two variables affecting the revenue during the quarter. The most significant one is oil prices, obviously. And the other one being our export reporting error that we reported early in 2017 that affected Q4 2016. That export reporting error has now been finally agreed, and there was an additional amount of $1 million affecting our revenue for Q1 negatively. We should remember that the additional $1 million in Tethys terms means an undiscounted net cash effect that goes from 1.4 that we previously reported to 1.6. So 0.2 million is the consequence, and that is a result of cost pool reinstatement, where this amount will be cost recovered, and that is within short. So the undiscounted net cash effect is very very minor. Moving on to expenses, and as Magnus also addressed, we saw a hike in Q1 OPEX, and that is partly a result of a carryover from 2018 of 0.6 million. We also saw high activity on well workovers during the first quarter, which amounted to 1.4 million compared to 0.9 million in Q4. The average OPEX per barrel during 2019 is expected to be higher than the average of 2018, where we saw $10.7 per barrel, but considerably lower than the 13.3 that we saw in Q1. And this will be a consequence of higher production in the coming quarters, and OPEX being more reasonable. So we will expect OPEX per barrel to come down. Moving on to slide 10, OPEX and netback. Obviously, the most important factor influencing the netback per barrel is the oil price, and that we expect to return upwards during Q2. We also expect OPEX per barrel to come down. The actual netback per barrel during the quarter was 18.8 compared to 29.4 in Q4. So improvements to be seen when it comes to netback per barrel. EBITDA, slide 11. Consequence of the lower oil prices and the higher OPEX for the quarter, we see EBITDA of 17.2 million for the quarter, which still represents a healthy EBITDA margin of 52%. Onwards to balance sheet, slide 12. Net cash increased during the quarter by approximately 10 million to a total of close to 83 million. The board has proposed to the AGM a total distribution of close to 30 million for the year. The added cash during Q1, the mixed quarter of 10 million, represents roughly a third of the dividend amount. So the cash generation capacity of blocks 3 and 4 is clearly visible looking at the cash added during the quarter. Still no interest-bearing debt and a healthy cash position of 83 million. Investments, slide 13. We had total investments in our oil assets of 11.6. The majority of that went into blocks 3 and 4, 11.3. and a fairly low amount, 0.3, went into block 49. And block 49 will obviously pick up speed once we get flat out with interpreting the seismic that is now coming in. The investment guidance is for 50 to 55 million throughout 2019, and 11.6 is obviously a bit less than one quarter of that. So we can expect somewhat higher investments per quarter going forward during 2019. So what did we get for those investments? Slide 14. We drilled a total of 12 new wells during Q1. Majority of those were appraisal and production wells, some water injection wells, and significantly we also completed the drilling of two exploration wells. And there are more to come during 2019. And with that, I hand back over to Magnus.
Thank you very much, Jesper. And I will comment on the operations, and starting with blocks 3 and 4. A few highlights that I would like to remind everyone. We acquired the license in 2007. We're about one-third through its license life, valid until 2040. During these years, we have produced on block more than 80 million barrels of oil. That's close to 25 million barrels of oil net to Tethys, which has generated $50 million worth of distribution to our shareholders over these years. Our reserves stand at about the same number, around 25 million barrels, similar to what we have produced already. And as you'll soon see, there is still ample growth left in the blocks. So between now and 2040, we expect to extract a lot of value from 3 and 4, but also to see growth. Block 49 is almost the opposite. It's an exploration block. We have 100%. We are looking to find oil, but so far no commercial discovery, but hopefully substantial potential. Turning to next slide, slide number 16, just a quick summary of 49. It's a large block, 15,000 square kilometers. A number of previous operators have held the block. 9 wells drilled, several with oil shows. Seismic data, both 2D and 3D, that we have reprocessed. And we got off with doing our own exploration-focused work in fourth quarter last year, where we have a reasonably clear idea, obviously, where we would like to focus, at least for the first exploration period, which is 3 years. And that is the top corner where you see we did additional seismic, both 2D and 3D. The data is of good quality. We have just received the data set and are currently interpreting. And obviously, what we are doing is enhancing our overall understanding of the block, but focusing on finding drillable targets within, in particular, these seismic areas. And as I said, we have a pretty clear geological idea of what we can expect from this part of the block. Let's hope that idea survives survives actually meeting the new seismic data, and that we can later in the year present something that offers a good risk reward to be tested with the drill bit. But that work is ongoing, and we'll see how far we can take it. Turning to 17, obviously, net production development blocks 3 and 4. This is where we came from nowhere in 2010, 2011, to the reasonably steady 11 to 12,000 barrels a day that we have been doing for the last couple of quarters. We've had a surprisingly steady production, and we expect production to increase for the year Note that we were below our guidance in the first quarter, so clearly we have to make that up, and we have to get back into the guidance between 12 and 13,000 barrels. So we would expect 3 and 4 and to deliver better than they did in the first quarter. We hope to see this from stemming the decline in the older fields with enhanced workover and other remedial activity. And then, of course, from the new fields that were put on stream last year, and in particular the Ulfa and Sama fields, where the additional separated capacity should see for the opening up of shut-in wells. So bear with us for a couple of months, but we expect to be back within the production guidance window quite shortly. Turning to what is actually even more important in the long run than production, that is the reserves. And at December 31st, 2018, we stood at 25 million barrels of 2P, pretty close to what we've actually produced on block so far since the start of production in 2010. And in addition, 2C resources of 12.5, and these 2C resources are attributable only to three fields, the Ulfa, Sama, and Arfan fields that were discovered in 17, appraised and developed in 18, partially put on stream in 18, but there are additional appraisal work and also production work is ongoing. And obviously, part of the work program for the current year is to move as much of that of the seas into the P categories. And that will stem from infrastructure, from appraisal drilling, and better understanding of the reservoirs and the completion of the FDPs for the various fields as they move from early production into more permanent production. Turning to slide 19, we see here a bit of a hopscotch of what we have and what we have done. These are blocks 3 and 4. Important, the light blue shade areas, which is the 3D seismic that was completed before 2017. It holds the Farah field, one of our mainstay fields that produce from the Barak sandstones and have been in production since 2010. The Shahad field and the Sawan East field, all early discoveries from 2010 and 2012, responsible for the 80 million barrels that we have produced, but still going strong and with a better and better understanding, water injection being implemented also in Shahad, we expect them to deliver good production for many years to come. We have a number of prospects and leads. They have been identified over the years, both from within the 3D seismic area, but also outside the original 3D seismic area from seismic collected by previous operators. So in 2017 and 18, the dark blue areas, we expanded the seismic coverage quite substantially, and we have firmed up a number of leads into prospects, and we actually have started drilling our exploration wells already. Turning to the next slide, slide 20, let me comment a little bit more in detail on what we're actually doing. Farha produces from a Barak sandstone at approximately a depth of about 1,800 meters. The Shahad field is a carbonate at 2,300 meters, as is the Sawan East field. What we've been trying to do for the last couple of years has been trying to understand the carbonates and how they are dispersed over the blocks. And we have then concluded that they actually also exist near or under the Farah South field. And the Ulfa and Sama discoveries, new fields, actually are proof that that work has been fruitful and that it does make sense. So current exploration efforts are in that region where we look at the Khufai and Buah and see if we can extend that play northwards. And the Masara-1 well that was completed during the current quarter is an excellent example of that. It's exactly a lookalike to Ulfa. It's within the Farha seismic area, and it came in nicely, exactly where expected in the Khufai carbonates. We have a number of additional prospects there that we are maturing and hope to drill later this year or possibly next year. On the other side of the Farha field, we did more of a step out, the Mohammed well, which actually was drilled to test a deep target, a very nice structure, but in an uncharted territory. Charge, the presence of oil, was the main risk, and we didn't actually find any oil in the very nice structure. But surprisingly, or maybe I shouldn't say all that surprisingly, but we didn't expect any oil in the Khufai. No wells have been drilled here. No wells have proven the existence of oil in the Khufai. But on the way down to test the deeper target in Mohammed, we actually encountered oil in the Khufai. We did some initial tests. We sidetracked a bit. No oil to surface, but liquid samples have been obtained. And given the location, it could prove up to be very, very interesting for this entire part of Block 3, where possibly a new Khufai play is being matured. Jury's still out on this, but so far it looks encouraging and could be very interesting. So let me reiterate that we do expect to extract a lot of value from the known fields in Blocks 3 and 4, but we also have substantial exploration potential. And I would like to illustrate that by slide number 21, where we have our 2P reserve replacement ratio for these blocks. And do note that never since we started production have we found less oil than we have produced. And frequently, in most years, we have been above 150%. And in 2018, we were up at 177%. So the starting position for 2019 from a growth perspective is good. We have 12 million barrels of contingent resources in now producing fields to be moved into the reserve category. And we have already one exploration success for the year. We have a potential exploration success in Mohammed, and we have at least three exploration wells to be drilled for the year. So turning to our final slide, and for as much as we have had a mixed result and a mixed bag of results for the first quarter, we do not expect those to be the normal for Tethys Oil for 2019. And as we return to normality, we will see OPEX per barrel come down as actual OPEX stabilizes and production increases. We know that oil prices is up compared to what we saw in the first quarter. And on top of that, we have considerable exploration potential and growth opportunities. A very active program, at least three additional wells to be drilled, and we've already had one success. Block 49 is continuing according to plan, where the seismic interpretation is in progress. We expect production, we expect oil price. So as we return to normality, we expect to see Blocks 3 and 4 really further underscore what great value generators they are, but also how much growth there's still in them. And again, let me reiterate, this was a bad quarter, and we generated $10 million of cash, actually almost a third of the substantial distribution to shareholders that we do and that we hope the AGM will approve next week. Then I must say it will be very interesting to see what a good quarter will look like. Questions?
Thank you. If you do wish to ask a question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. If you wish to withdraw your question, you may do so by pressing 02 to cancel. Once again, for an audio question, please press 01 on your telephone keypad. And our first question comes from the line of Johan Spetz from Pareto Securities. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Thank you, and thank you for the presentation, Magnus and Jesper. I just wanted to go back to the near-field discovery that you announced here at Masara. Any additional info you can provide on the flow rates there? You say good flow rates. Any indication of what that might mean, and also when this might be tied back to actually produce into,
sure.
I guess, either into Farah or into Ulfa at this point, right?
Certainly, Joanne. Thanks for the question. We don't usually give details on flow rates, but obviously, since we haven't given any specific information, you can assume that the flow rates are in line with what we usually get from these carbonates. The well is being hooked up for a long-term production test, and will actually be hooked up to the system in the near term. We'll run a long-term production test, both to see what sustainable flow rates are like and to get the usual pressure data to do a proper appraisal. And, of course, it will be included in the reserve resource category for year-end. And then we'll have a good 6 months of production data to put into that equation. So we're encouraged by what we've seen so far. And as I say, it was a lookalike to the Ulfa and Sama. It came in just as expected, and we have a number more of these to drill.
Right. And in relation to the production guidance for the full year, which you now keep intact or you are reiterating, would you say this Masara well would add some upside to that range, or is Masara sort of included in you reiterating that guidance?
Let me state the factual situation. The guidance is based on the forecast for 2019, based on the production in January, February, and does not include any possible exploration success for the year. But obviously, I mean, depending on how long the long-term test goes on, it could impact production. But so far, we have seen no reason to change our guidance. So the guidance, 12 to 30,000 barrels of oil per day on average for the year, stands.
Okay, sounds good. And just finally on my end, a question you usually get in these quarterly calls. Any update on the M&A side of things?
We are very interested in doing M&A. We would or get new projects. We can certainly see that there is opportunity to grow in Oman. As we mentioned in the report, and as you know, we tried to acquire 2% of the Mukhaisna fields in Oman earlier this year, but preemption rights were exercised, and then we could not close that transaction. But we are certainly looking at other opportunities. And we are not foreign to doing something outside of Oman, I would say preferably in the MENA region. And the more we learn, the more we look at, hopefully, the closer we get to a transaction. But all I can say is we are eagerly looking, and we would be more than happy to close something that we like.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question comes from the line of Taro Cowley from GMP Fast Energy. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, guys. Thank you very much for that. Just a couple of questions from me. Can you give any indication of the size of the discovery and the chance of development, which sounds pretty much near 100%? Just want confirmation of that. And on the appraisal well, how much 2C you might expect to move to 2P on the back of that well?
Okay. Yep. Sorry, go ahead, yeah.
Well, sorry, and finally, just any details you can give on the three exploration wells you plan to drill this year in terms of timing and where they might be and what you're targeting.
Great. Okay. Thanks, Tara. First question on Masara. We have guided here a little bit mid-size for blocks 3 and 4. Assume simply that it's not the largest field we've discovered, but it's, neither is it the smallest. I would say that based on what you see in the reserve table, put it somewhere in the middle of field size, and you'll have a pretty good idea of what we expect now. I should say, however, this appraisal program is ongoing. And as far as development scenario, that's obviously something that we are eagerly collecting data on from, and also will do from the long-term production test. So we will certainly get back to you on that one as the as we gather more data on the year. But an actual resource or reserve number, we would not really be prepared to give until we have the year-end numbers. But as you rightly notice, it is close to existing infrastructure. It is right in the middle of where we are already producing, and clearly it shouldn't be too difficult. But you never know until you've actually done your appraisal. Sorry, which was the second question, Tara?
With the details on the, or the second one was, yeah, moving 2C, how much 2C will,
might be. Okay. Clearly, with 2 million 2C, we are eager to move as much as possible. We haven't actually given any guidance on that, and I would just say that we would move, we hope to move as much as possible, of course, but it's dependent on the data collection, it's dependent on the reservoir understanding and all everything that's part of appraisal and then field development plan formation. So can't give a number, but it's a high priority for the year.
Right. Okay.
And exploration, we would certainly look to have a nice mix of near field. As I mentioned, we have a number of leads and prospects in the near field area. That we will certainly target, but also hope to be a little bit more adventurous and go for some of the far field areas where, for example, what we've seen in Masara, where we may be looking at a new play. Of course, it would be highly interesting to learn more about that and maybe also do some additional exploratory drilling there and see if we can expand the current play base that we have. We are quite confident that we have enough in the known plays, but known unknowns are also quite interesting to chase.
Okay, thank you. And just looking, when you say mid-size, essentially getting an average of the other fields, are you talking about all six fields, i.e. including Farah, Shard, and Siwanis? Are you more talking about the new discoveries, all for Samra and Irfan?
I think the Farah consists of a number of the separate fault blocks. Shahad also a number of separate structures. So I think looking at the newer fields is probably a better guide.
Yeah, okay. That's what I thought might be the case. Okay, thank you very much. Cheers.
Ciao.
Thank you. Once again, if there are any remaining audio questions, please press 01 on your telephone keypad now. And as we have no more audio questions registered, I now hand back to our speakers.
Well, thank you very much for listening. Thank you for good questions. Hope to see you again in August for a Q2 report. And let's hope we can offer a slightly different mix in August than we did today. Thank you very much.